This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, this is Ads from the Hump Day crew, and here's another one of our podcasts. Enjoy.
Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here, reporting live for the Hump Day crew, going all green and all natural. Very funny, guys. Yes.
Joining me on the line right now is Gemma Tillack. She's the climate change and forest campaigner for the Wilderness Society in Tasmania. She's actually over in Bonn, Germany at the moment. Gemma, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, no worries. Thanks for having me, Adam.
What's the time over in Germany at the moment?
It's just hit midnight on a Friday night, to be honest. I've just come back from a bustling restaurant to get into my little quiet apartment so I could actually hear you guys over there in Aussie.
Can you tell me, what exactly are you doing over in Bonn, Germany at the moment?
So at the moment there's a intersession meeting for the climate negotiations happening. There's basically a number of delegations from all over the country that are here to discuss what the next climate treaty will include.
Okay.
So we're here to make sure that the protection of the world's forests will be a part of that agreement, and to make sure that Australia basically fulfills its role to contribute to the solution to climate change.
So when you say there's people from all different places coming to Bonn, are they politicians? Are they non-government organisations like yourself? Who's actually there?
So there's a combination. So if you use Australia as an example, there's the Department of Climate Change from Australia and their team of negotiators over here. There's basically negotiators from every country in the world here at the moment. There's also non-governing organisations like the Wilderness Society. There's scientific bodies that are over here. There's also some people from the market kind of based sectors that are here. And basically everyone who has an interest in the climate negotiations and the outcome in Copenhagen in December this year.
And so you're getting an actual chance to talk to, I guess, the politicians or their representatives and negotiators?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I talk to a number of people from every country every day.
Uh-huh.
From the people that you walk past in the hallways to the people that you talk to in official side events or the official kind of the official negotiation sessions. And I've also been part of a number of organised conferences and meetings with the Australian government and other government delegations as well.
So if decisions are being made in Copenhagen, why do we need to have things before the decision-making time?
So at the moment, a lot of the for the first time, the draft text for the climate deal has been put on the table. So we've actually reached a turning point in the climate talks. So for the first time, all countries have a text to look at and to discuss and negotiate and decide what will go into the final deal. So it actually is a really crucial time in the climate deals, because unless things get in or unless things get taken out right here in Bonn, it will actually determine the outcome for the overall climate deal and whether or not it will deliver a safe climate for the future.
And on behalf of the Wilderness Society, are you happy with the draft at the moment?
There's definitely a lot of areas that need to be improved. We've been meeting with the Australian government and trying to talk to the Australian politicians just to make sure that they do commit to serious targets. As I'm sure everyone in Australia knows, our government's only committed to a 5% reduction on 2000 levels. Which is far from the agreed 25 to 40% reduction rate agreed in the Bali meeting. So we are still a little bit disappointed, obviously, at our government, and hoping that we can put pressure on them so they do increase our reduction emission to 40%, which is what we really do need in order to get a safe climate. And in relation to forests, like our country also still does not account for our emissions from forests, so we're hoping that they'll fix that. And we're also hoping that they'll take the opportunity to protect our forests at home and then help other developing countries like Indonesia and Brazil and the Congo Basin to protect their forests into the future.
Because a lot of the press coming out of Bonn, Germany at the moment is actually starting to look at that other side of things. It's not just cutting emissions, but also looking after our, I guess, not only our forests, but also like peatlands around Southeast Asia, and different places like that as well, which is really, really important, isn't it?
Oh, it definitely is. Like our world's forests and natural ecosystems are a major contributor in storing and sequestering carbon or sucking it out of the atmosphere. So in Bali, all of the governments agreed to ensuring that the next climate deal involves the protection of forests. And the protection of peatlands and ecosystems that store a lot of carbon safely out of the forest, out of the atmosphere. But there's also a lot on the table. So a lot of the largest extents of forests are left in developing countries. And we've actually just received some really quite sad news tonight that in Peru, in South America, 20 people have actually just been shot dead over some conflicts around forests. And the government basically taking back ownership and privatising forests. So things are, to be honest, quite emotional over here. They are quite heated, and we're just really hoping that at the end of the day in Copenhagen there is an agreement that enables Indigenous people and local communities in these forested countries to, you know, to be given the capacity and the ability to protect their forest into the future, and just to make sure that we do find a way to stop deforestation and to actually stop the logging and large-scale clearing of forest ecosystems across the planet.
For sure. Now, in the draft as well, is there any target emission targets listed in there?
Everyone's still discussing them.
I bet they are.
Yeah, things are moving at a real snail's pace. There's a lot of different positions on the table. All the most vulnerable countries and the island states are pushing a 350 parts per million target, which is, you know, essentially the minimum of what we really need to do to ensure the survival of all people in all countries. But the developed countries are putting forward different different targets, which are a little bit less unsatisfactory. And at the moment, a lot of the discussions are about whether or not we will be able to stabilise temperature increase at about 2% temperature increases. So most of the countries are still umming and ahhing about whether or not they will make reductions in emissions and how they'll do it. To be honest, they're kind of just saying we're going to wait for everyone else to commit and then we'll join the line. So we're still waiting for a leader to basically commit to what is required to commit to a 350 parts per million target, and commit to taking the first step on behalf of their country.
It really seems to be happening at the moment that every country just kind of standing in a circle and looking at everyone else going, well, what are you going to do? Is that kind of the case?
Pretty much that's what's going on, except they're all sitting behind tables in a very big room waiting for their turn to talk. It is, like, to be honest, like today was a bit of a write-off. There was supposed to be a number of decisions made and they're still being discussed and delayed. And unfortunately, one of the major reasons why the target discussions are being delayed is because of the lack of decision on land use and land use change in developed countries.
Mm-hmm.
It's all a bit complex, but to put it very simply, it's basically the amount of reductions that can be offset by allowing forests to grow or stopping logging in developed countries. So, for example, Australia, we don't actually account for our emissions from logging. So I'm from the little beautiful island state called Tassie.
Yes.
And, for example, our forests are continuously being logged and degraded, and we're not accounting for the emissions. And there's a lot of uncertainty around how countries will account for their emissions into the future, and people aren't willing to put targets on the table until that debate and discussion's resolved. So we're really trying to get the Australian government to say, look, we'll take the first step, we'll protect our own forests, we'll start accounting for our emissions from forestry. And we'll, you know, then work with developing countries to make sure that they can protect their forests, protect their peatlands and commit to emission reductions as well.
Now, I believe you also accepted an award on behalf of Australia.
I did. Who told you that?
Oh, I have sources everywhere.
Yeah, it was actually the opening ceremony for the Fossil of the Day Awards, which is a tradition that's been in place since 1999, and essentially it's an award that's given to the country that has performed in the worst way in the daily negotiations in the UN conference, and Australia actually was awarded first place on the first day of the ceremony. Which obviously isn't something to be proud of, but I did get the privilege of accepting it on behalf of my country when I was wearing a 5% is not enough t-shirt on behalf of Climate Action Hobart, which is my local climate action group. But Australia was basically awarded a first prize for basically what's happened is the Rudd government have put out a new target. Which is saying that we will commit to a 25% reduction so long as the climate negotiations agrees to our 450 parts per million target in Copenhagen.
Uh-huh.
But it's the Australian government's also actually put a whole lot of conditions associated with it. So it basically means that in order for us to actually agree to a 25% target, developing countries need to contribute finance to a climate deal. They also need to slow their own growth. They need to commit to a 20% reduction by 2020. They also need to nominate a peak year for their emissions. So, put simply, Australia's basically said, we'll reach a 25% reduction so long as developing countries or the poorest countries, you know, contribute finance and nominate a year where they will peak their emissions. And, you know, Australia, we haven't even nominated a year where that we will peak our emissions yet. Where we're asking developing countries to, you know, to do it before we do it.
So they're putting some pretty heavy conditions on some small players, really.
Definitely, and you know, a lot of the negotiations are, you know, we're trying to get a fair and equal agreement out of Copenhagen, and this, you know, this new approach from the Australian government was essentially not accepted by the global community, and they essentially told Australia to go back to the drawing board. To come back with a solid commitment to a minimum of 25% target reductions by 2020, but to commit to the 40% reduction that really is required if we're going to have any chance of stabilising emissions and having a safe climate.
And has Australia gone and done their homework and come back, or not yet?
Not yet. The jury's still out on that one. We had a meeting with them yesterday, and they hadn't changed their position yet. But to be honest, Australia has in the last 24 hours done something good. They've announced a position to use the money that is raised through aviation fuel and basically shipping fuel for climate mitigation. And which has been a negotiation that's been underway for the last 13 years, and Australia is actually taking a leading role to say that we need to put a levy on our plane tickets and our boat tickets across the planet, and that money should actually be used for reducing the impacts of climate change, which is something that I'm personally happy to support the Australian government for taking a lead, but I just wish that they take a lead in the targets debate and also the forest protection debate over here in Bonn.
Yeah, for sure. Now, on a lighter note, have you ever been to Germany before?
I haven't actually, and it's an amazing place. I'm living in a beautiful little apartment just down from the city, and there's a number of beautiful little pubs and restaurants and little paved streets all around me. So it's quite a fascinating place to visit, and the people here are very nice. And most of them do speak English at the moment, which is quite funny. So, you know, I did rustle up on my German, but...
it's not getting much use.
It seems quite a cultured place over here. I think it's because it's the home of the UN, so they're a bit used to us Australians and English speakers coming over here.
Excellent. Well, Gemma, thank you so much for joining us today. Good luck, and hopefully we get some... Hopefully Australia has a bout of leadership soon and wants to set some examples in the next few days.
Yeah, and just a quick plug for the climate emergency rallies that are happening all around Australia on the 13th of June, which is next Saturday. They're happening in every major city, including Melbourne and Hobart and Sydney and Adelaide and Perth. So, you know, just a call out to everyone in Melbourne just to really be part of that event. They can find out the details by checking out climaterally.org. And be part of that event because it really is crucial to get a really good, solid climate movement building in Australia so our government does do the right thing while it's over here in these negotiations.
Gemma, thank you very much for your time today.
No worries. Thanks very much for having me.
My pleasure. And that's Gemma Tillack from the Wilderness Society. If you'd like to find out more also about the Wilderness Society, go to the website wilderness.org.au.
Hey, this is Ads from the Hump Day Crew. Thank you so much for listening to another one of our podcasts, and thank you for supporting the Hump Day Crew and Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.